Well, another Friday, another movie with Matt O'Lean, and this time we've got kind of an unusual circumstance. David Crosby and his touring band appear at the Fargo Theater Sunday night. At the same time, a documentary about him, a very interesting and provocative one, is airing at the Fargo Theater.
Yeah, it was a great coup for the Fargo Theater to pull this off, the concert and the documentary film. The film is still playing at the Fargo Theater. It's called David Crosby, Remember My Name. And I would say this is one of the most soul-bearing rock and roll documentaries I've ever seen. Cameron Crowe is the producer. Now, he, as you may know, Doug, was a rock journalist as a teenager.
For the Rolling Stone.
He met David Crosby back in 1974 when Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were touring. And so he's maintained that relationship. He's got access to him. He's a big filmmaker, though his narrative films have really dropped in quality since Jerry Maguire. But what Crowe's really good at is interviewing. And you kind of hear him off mic sometimes talking to Crosby, though we never see Cameron Crowe. And what he gets out of Crosby is very revealing, essentially that Crosby was the problem child of the group, hard to get along with. He was kicked out of the Byrds by Roger McGuinn. That's a fascinating sequence. Hard to get along with. And he is willing to go down that road and say, I've hurt a lot of people. And we eventually get into why Neil Young and Graham Nash don't speak to him anymore. The one thing about the documentary we don't get is we don't get current interviews with Nash, Stills, and Young. He was either they didn't want to do it or he was not able to secure them. So what you see is file interviews with them talking about their relationship with David Crosby. So he's had a chaotic life, a lot of excess. This is the typical rock and roll story. He's got 8 stents in his heart, but he still loves to tour. And I think that's the thing that comes out of the documentary is he basically says, music is the only thing I have to offer. And so that's why you see him at the Fargo Theater in front of an intimate crowd with his new band playing some of the old favorites and some new songs. He's done 5 solo albums in the last 5 or 6 years. That's truly amazing at his age, and he's 78 now. So I like this documentary a lot. It doesn't really get into too much of the art of CSNY, what made them really gel together. He does say he and Graham Nash's voices really gelled well when Nash left the Hollies and formed the supergroup with Crosby and Stills. There's another fascinating sequence where Crosby recounts how Neil Young wrote Ohio right in front of him after Kent State. And Crosby kind of gave him the impetus to write the song, and then Neil Young wrote it in like an hour. And they got it out as a single in response to the Kent State shootings, and that remains one of the great protest songs ever. So lots of little neat tidbits like that. You do get the sense that Crosby would like to repair the relationship with Nash and Young. It never really gets into whether Stephen Stills talks to him anymore or not. But how you repair that is, you know, someone always has to put that first foot forward, and you wonder if that's ever going to happen. So if you think the Beatles breakup was acrimonious, this whole thing with CSNY sounds even worse at times.
Another missing link to me, at any rate, when I saw the preview and I read a little bit about the film, I have not seen the film yet. I do look forward to seeing it, is why Bob Dylan wasn't in it. Mr. Tambourine Man. And that was a big song, and he's a songwriter. David Crosby's a songwriter.
Well, either Crowe did not seek him out to be interviewed or Dylan didn't want to do an interview. You know, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He is mentioned in the film when Roger McGuinn talks about them doing their version of Mr. Tambourine Man and how that was really the catalyst for Dylan to pick up an electric guitar because he saw what the Byrds did with that song. Mm-hmm. They turned it into a number one hit. Whereas when Dylan sings it, you don't sense it's a number one hit. So it's all in the style of that. You know, similarly, CSNY took Joni Mitchell's song Woodstock and just added those big guitars to it and turned it into kind of an anthem, even though she wrote the song Woodstock, though she wasn't at Woodstock, famously. They were, of course. So Dylan's in it a little bit, but I don't know that he's really central to David Crosby's story either.
So this is a movie that you would recommend people see?
Yes. If you are into that kind of music, that kind of era, I would go see this movie. If you're not into Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, maybe not. But it's a good insight into someone who I think has a lot of regrets of how he acted. Big ego, no brains, he says. You know, Crowe asks him, why are you still alive and others aren't? He says, I don't know. But he's trying to do with whatever time he's got left. He's trying to make it happen on the stage. And he's appearing at small venues.
And he has an intense tour schedule, at least for a couple of months.
So. He does. Interesting. Very busy guy.
Well, here is your Academy Award trivia question this week, and this time we're going back to a place we've been before, the first Oscar ceremony, 1929, 90 years ago. This was back when you could get an Oscar for multiple film awards.
Right.
Because they were looking at films that were produced and released in 1927, 28. So which performer won an Oscar for the greatest number of movies?
So that would be Janet Gaynor for Best Actress. Three films I've seen, Sunrise, which is a great film, Seventh Heaven, and Street Angel.
Okay, we've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean.